wrapped in love and infinite in mercy, he welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Confident in his forgiveness, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
I will not. shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey, and he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God.
name of the one true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is all rather anticlimactic. Observing a fourth Sunday of Advent, and Christmas is, for all intents and purposes, already here. And yet, before we finish our Advent journey to Bethlehem, even as the manger is in sight, the church has us stop our march. Before you gaze into the manger and look upon the Son of God, we are told, first gaze upon his Virgin Mother. Now, why is it that every year on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we in the lectionary have readings about the Blessed Virgin Mary? I recall once seeing a television program a while back showing various pieces of art being x-rayed or MRI'd or something to see what lay behind the image on the canvas. Mistakes, corrections, paint overs, and the like. And one of the paintings subjected to the x-ray scrutiny was a 17th century portrait of the baby Jesus in the manger, adored by a flutter of cherubs. But when the painting was subjected to testing, it turned out that the face of Christ had, for some reason, been painted over at a later date by a less talented artist. And in the x-rays, one could clearly see a more sublime face of Christ that had been painted over by a simpering 10th-rate substitute. Now, for many, the Christ child in the gilded frame of Christmas will be a 10th-rate substitute. Instead of seeing Emmanuel, who is God with us, many will only see a baby. Instead of seeing the living God in the flesh, many will see only a lifeless picture of an event that happened a long time ago in a place far away. And instead of having a relationship with the God made man, many will have only sentimental feelings. And that is why, on the fourth Sunday of Advent every year, the church has us look on the mother of Jesus Christ, true God and true man, because Mary presents us with penetrating insight, x-ray insight, if you will, that will allow us to see the real Christ and not a cheap, garish, vulgar counterfeit. The first thing that Our Lady teaches us is that seeing the true Jesus does not depend upon our circumstances. Just ask her. God will come in the unlikeliest of places. A hole in the hillside, for instance, a shelter for animals, will be the birthplace of the Savior of the world. And as wives do, I can just hear her saying to Joseph, consoling him, as he flashed his pale lantern around the stable, why, it's just what we need. Privacy and quiet, and it's snug against the weather. You know, when Christmas comes, your circumstances might not be what you want them to be. Money may be tighter than it was last year. Someone you love may have died since last Christmas. You may be alone, separated from your family. Christmas may have bad memories for you. But as we leave Advent, Our Lady reminds us that discovering her Son, the true Christ, will not be a matter of having perfect circumstances, where we find God in unfitting and unlikely places, even in despair and absence and doubt. And if God will come to dwell in a stable, surely he will come to dwell with you. The second thing that the Virgin teaches us is that her Son has to be seen through the eyes of, if you'll pardon a dirty word, humility. And humility, from the Latin humus, meaning ground, is nothing more than being grounded in the truth about ourselves and an acknowledgement of that truth. And what is the truth that we must acknowledge? Namely, that we are separated from God, that we are sinful people, and we are desperately in need of a Savior. Jesus teaches us that whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And if you want proof of that, just think of all those big and swaggering cities in Judea with their armies, their wealth, and their shelves of learning. At Christmas, God walks around all of them to be born in Bethlehem. Think of Rome, the center of the world where Caesar snores in a golden palace. And when Emmanuel comes down the silver stairway of the stars, he will not be born there, but in a stable. His companions will not be the pompous people, but rather dumb cattle and not much brighter peasants. Think of Mary, the humble girl from Galilee, the teenager that God the Father chose to be the mother of God incarnate. So when Christmas comes in a couple of days, will I be more like those proud cities or more like humble Mary? Do I acknowledge my unworthiness in God's sight? God is the creator, I am his creature. God is life, I am nothing but dust and ashes. I need a Savior. And thank God, my Savior comes. So as we leave Advent and prepare to enter the manger, Mary reminds us that to see the real Jesus, the true Christ, we have to acknowledge that we are not as God would have us to be, that we need a Savior. Enter the stable, we have to stoop. And unless we are humble, we won't make it through the door. Finally, Mary teaches us that to see the real Jesus, we have to enter the stable in silence. If you're anything like me, right now you are stressed out. Your mind is racing with countless little details, 1,000 voices shouting like the revelers at the inn. And perhaps, too, your home is a riot of clatter and noise. But remember, it's still Advent. So let us be peaceful and quiet and watchful. The stable tableau at Bethlehem is one of complete silence. In the scriptural record, no one says a single word. The infant, of course, does not speak, and Mary will say nothing, only her heart will beat faster as she adores. So Our Lady reminds us that to see the real Jesus, the true Christ, we need to be calm and quiet. On Christmas Eve, don't leave for Mass at the last minute. Don't overindulge in food and drink. Let the stable of your heart be hushed and holy with speechless wonder. So we honor the mother of the God-made man, Jesus Christ, on this last Sunday of Advent. even as we are on the brink of Christmas, because she teaches us the way to see the real Jesus. She gives us insight that if we acknowledge our need for a Savior, if we're quiet and watchful, Emmanuel will come into our world, whatever our circumstance. Do we need to listen to what Our Lady is telling us? Are these final few hours of Advent really necessary? Yes. For Jesus may have been born 1,000 times, but if he is not born in our hearts, it will be as if he had not been born at all. In the words of the Nicene Creed, let us stand and affirm our faith in the God made man. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In joyful expectation of our Lord's coming, let us pray for the church and for the world.
Come, O Jesus, to your church as Lord and Judge. We pray for James, our bishop, Douglas, priest of his parish, and for all the holy people of God. Help us to live in the light of your coming and give us a longing for your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Come, sovereign Lord, as King of the nations, we pray for George, our president, Mike and Rick, our governors, and all who hold public office. Before you, the rulers of the world stand in silence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Come to your people, Lord Christ, with a message of victory and peace. We pray for those who celebrate birthdays this week. Lisa, Mary, Al, Leo, Patsy, Amanda, Michelle, Susan, Dina, Chet, and Josh. And for those who celebrate wedding anniversaries, Jim and Lou, Bruce and Barbara, Scott and Jane. We pray also for Sue McCrossen, whose household was lifted up in prayer this week. Lead us all in paths of righteousness and give us the victory over Satan, sin, and death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Come to us, Lord, Savior and Comforter. We pray for all those who are sick and suffering, and for those serving our country in wartime. Troy, Mary, Diane, Molly, Maggie, Obie, Barry, Patricia, Ann, Elizabeth, Jack Prince, Johnny, Tommy, Chris, Elizabeth, Bud, Lindy, Jonathan, Bruce, Jill, Karen, Kathy, Dorothy, Jackie, Denise, Dee, Pat, Thomas, Diane, Jamie, David, Don, Jeff, Jackie, Henrietta, Arthur, James, Gus, Michelle, Tom, Nancy, the chronically ill and those in nursing homes, and for those serving our country, Michael, Paul, Devin, James, Chris, Alex, Charles, Brandon, Trey, Chris, Zach, Brad, Damian, Jim, Adam, Jacob, Kyle, and Hunter. Break into those areas of our lives where we live with pain and distress, and set us free to serve you forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Come to us from heaven with power and great glory, and lift us from all the departed to live with you forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Pray for those members of our parish family who travel this week. Pray for our preparations for Christmas, both as families and as a parish. Pray for Christians living in Muslim lands. Pray for healing in families. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Please have a seat. Warm welcome to those of you who are visiting with us this Sunday. If you fill out one of those cards in the pews, we'll have a record of your visit. It's wonderful that you're with us. Christmas services are listed in the calendar, the bulletin, two masses on Christmas Eve at 4:30 and 10 o'clock, and then one on Christmas Day at 10 o'clock in the morning. Christian education classes are, of course, in recess this week, and on New Year's Eve, which is, in fact, the eve of the feast of the circumcision and naming of Jesus, will be Mass at 5 o'clock, which will give you adequate time to do whatever it is you want to do after we give thanks for the Holy Name of Jesus. Are there any celebrating anniversaries of birth or of marriage this week? And we'll pray God's blessing. Thank you. last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. Here you delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. Here you brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. When he had given thanks to you, he broke it.
Amen.